Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her head.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-word. And I'm joined by my Super Cali, but I'm not going to go fragilistic on it.
You know what? That's mental telepathy, because I was actually going to say that about you. God knows that I am not lying.
All right. Well,
yeah, mental telepathy thing.
My super co-host, Miss 100%. If you want to holler at us, the phone number is 646-929-2037. Once again, the phone number to call in is 646-929-2037. Because we're going to spit some fire tonight. If you want to holler, feel free to jump up in the chat room. Hello, Sharon. Blog Talk or on live stream. You know, you check me out on the Smooth Drama site. We encourage you to go in there and hear from you there. And if you want to, as I always say, I'm encouraging y'all to stalk Miss 100%, but y'all not stalking her like you should. Tell them where they can stalk you at, Miss 100%.
Nowhere. No, I'm just kidding. They can catch up with me and communicate with me, talk to me at imnotonbs at yahoo.com. Or especially Facebook, you just add me, and I will add you, and we can get it popping.
All right. Yeah, and the same for me. If you want to catch up to me on Twitter, I'm Smooth Drama. You can follow me there. Also on Facebook, my yearbook tag, any social network, you can add me. I'm Dick Hugger there. Add me, I'll add you back. Talk to me, I'll talk to you back. And I know that goes for Miss 100% also. We love hearing from you. We want to get a little social discourse going. And speaking of a little social discourse, I just want to get everybody ready. Next week, next Friday, you know what next Friday is, Miss 100%? Next Friday is Sexual Freedom Day.
I thought that was every day. Oh,
yeah.
Maybe that's
Well, it'll be official. I just wanted to put that out there. It'll be official. So you got a whole week to get geared up, get your vitamins, get your push-ups on, sit up, all that. Because next Friday, it's on and popping.
Just don't get caught with X and Viagra like Big Boy did. You go to jail.
Well, speaking of sexual freedom, you know, Inez Sands, she showed up. You know, for those of you who don't know who that is, Inez Sands was the woman who there was the big fuss about her being in the Jets locker room. She was in the Jets locker room, and there was the guys was, you know, kind of turned on by her and was whistling at her and all that, and it was a big deal. Now, in her defense, she said it wasn't that big of a deal and was like they shouldn't even worry about it, but you know, they all jumped on her for it, and so she tried to downplay it, whatnot. Now, in downplaying it, she shows up this year into the Jets locker room in her 4-inch heels, in her mini skirt, little cocktail dress, as they call it.
Okay, cocktail. So you telling me she walked into a professional interview? Now, even though this is football players and muscles and sweat and, oh, Lord. Anyway, and she walked into the locker room with all this testosterone flowing in the miniskirt. It's still a professional interview that she's doing, but she decided to wear a whole uniform instead of, you know, going professional with it. And now she has a problem with it. Is that what it is?
Well, she ain't really have a problem. She had a problem with people was making it a bigger deal because I guess, you know, in reading it, she was like, I was fine with it, but, you know, everybody else was kind of tripping on it. And I guess they made it bigger. She didn't want it to be a big deal. And so this year, I guess she...
Yeah, that's why she wore a mini skirt and wore heels because she didn't want to make a scene.
I mean, what ain't no scene when you got on the the heels and the mini skirt?
I mean, but still, but being honest, what woman wouldn't have a problem with a bunch of men like NFL stars, you know, whistling at you or smiling at you or whatever? I mean, I would love it. So
just walking in the locker room, they all naked in there.
Oh my goodness, okay.
Well, speaking of naked, right out here in the Bay Area, San Francisco City Supervisor Scott Weiner, he wants nudists to cover the seats of public benches or seats before sitting on them.
Because I can see that. That's nasty.
Well, yeah, at the present, you know, the only restriction on nudity in San Francisco, I'm finding out, is walking around while aroused. that is considered lewd and illegal behavior.
I'm not even about to go into that. I'm not walking into that. I'm not.
Well, I guess if you walked into it, that would be considered
Wow, really?
Frisco, you know, they own something different there. Obviously, you can just run around and jog. Although, having been to Frisco, it is cold as hell.
So it really.
So if you run around naked in Frisco, you are a bad mother. Shut your mouth. That's the coldest city in California. I promise you.
Okay.
It's just cold.
But the covering the seats, yeah. You know, that I think that's a sensible thing because, yeah, I mean, just, I don't want, it's just kind of nasty. I don't even want the mental picture. That's,
you don't want a picture of naked people walking around?
No, I don't want a picture of naked people sitting there naked butts on seats, and then I would come along and sit in their butt sweat.
Unless you're naked, then y'all would be co-mingling.
But still, even with clothes on, you don't know what type of bacteria people is carrying around with them, mm-hmm. and you bring that crap home because you can't really kill staff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can treat it, but that shit lives on forever.
Come on now. Why are you even at now? No.
That's nasty.
Yeah, but you putting them images up.
That's why I said I didn't want to go into that because it's just a horrible picture, but I agree with him in saying, yeah, come put something, a towel, something, something.
Now, you're funny because you say you won't go into it, but you go into it. But I ain't want to talk about it, but I'm going to talk about it a little bit.
Okay. All right.
Well, speaking of horrible images, Zhang Nan of China, I guess over there, they have what you call fish pedicures, in which small sea creatures remove layers of dead skin. Well, Mr. Zane again was, he was bathing with live eels in order to cleanse his skin when, I guess, one of the small eels managed to climb up inside his penis and got all the way up into his bladder.
Oh.
Yeah. I want to be the first to say that, and I'm just going to take a sponge bath.
He already asking for trouble letting eels chew on his skin. And, I mean, that's nasty to let something eat the dead skin off of your body. But,
yeah, I was sitting up there like, oh! No!
Oh, my goodness. That's horrible. See,
Yeah, and I guess he had to be rushed to the hospital, had a 3-hour operation to get it out, and by the time it was extracted, it was already dead.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that made it worse. Ooh.
Yeah, he's got lethal pee in his bladder.
Ooh. Okay. Okay. All right.
Oh, all right. Well, now that we didn't got all nasty and gross with it, we gonna just take a break. We gonna go into Revolution of the Mind off their album No Honor and Sin. This is their song, The Big Pharma. After these messages, we'll be right back.
The other disturbing aspect was the fact that these drugs were being prescribed to a large number of children.
About 1 million children under 18 take such drugs now, with doctors writing 3 times as many prescriptions as they did a decade ago.
And we don't know if the drugs were being used appropriately. And the condition it's being advertised to treat might not even exist.
The reason we're seeing so much consumer advertising is because it works.
They can sell us almost anything.
Big Pharma. Big Pharma. Nation of walking corpses, smiles, nauseous distortion of mind. Trapped in bodily purgatory, the story unwind. They make no money if you healthy, no swill if you die. They cash out when they keep you coughing, but keep you alive. Yeah, you'll survive, just trust Doc, the plot's pure evil. There's war on the needle, but the pill's more lethal. Slanging them death beat, disease to the people. Give speed to the kids, but my weed ain't legal. It's like CDs and movies, new joints every summer. No change since the other, same pill, different color. My grandmother fights through the curse every night. 20 meds a day ain't never felt worse in a life. Treat sick people like lab mice, turning to hype. Cause those not controlled by medicine, controlled by the price. See, it's like back in the day from distributing coke. The ones who got the least, the ones paying the most. Strung out on pills, no difference than crack hoes. State sponsor, kingpin, dealers and lab coats. This is CA, where the home of the game is. Dope ain't illegal when the government slang it. It goes lab, pills, blood, hurt, white, bristle, my despise the murk. They put labels on their work and the fiends of their patients. Dope ain't illegal when the government slang it.
Yo, they get driving out of vans and bus paw. I don't trust y'all. Johnson & Johnson act like they above God. $1 billion business, pharmaceutical gain. Look what it do to your pain. Look what it do to your brain. Side effects from the meds. Need more meds and so forth. Recession, free depression, increase the spread of Zoloft. Low cost, natural remedies, longevity. Cause pills we pop only heal us temporarily. False memory, methamphetamine's an enemy. When we're not ill, we get pills cause we pretend to be. Manipulate the doctors, but doctors know. And they get paid from the state when the stocks are low. Viagra sold like it's pasta gold. And these HMOs are HOMOs in partnership with the government and fast food chains to make you sick like it's punishment for who's to blame. Vaccinations contain a small tracking device. Now the patients remain in the back of their sight. They control when we're sick. It's sick, let's get ahead of them. I'll feel better when they get a taste of their own medicine.
Strung out on pills, no different than crack hoes. State sponsor, kingpin, dealers and lab coats. This is CA, where the home of the game is. Dope ain't illegal when the government slang it. It goes lab, pills, blood, hearse, white, bristle, my despise the murk. They put labels on their work and the fiends of their patients. Dope ain't illegal when the government slang it.
Adverse drug reactions are the 5th leading cause of death in the United States.
In fact, each year in the United States, adverse drug reactions cause an estimated 100,000 deaths and approximately 1.5 million hospitalizations.
160,000 heart attacks and strokes.
20 million Americans took Viagra, often some say unnecessarily, in response to advertising.
More money was spent promoting Vioxx than Anheuser-Busch spent promoting Budweiser, than Pepsi-Cola spent promoting Pepsi. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Together you got to move, drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Revolution of the Mind, Big Pharma.
Yeah, that was a powerful message, and it would take a whole show to discuss that. Woof.
Hey, but that's why it's Revolution of the Mind.
Mm-hmm.
Revolution is mental. People think that revolution is just folks out there shooting, but, if you don't know what the hell you're doing, you just shooting like people on New Year's, just shooting up in the sky and a bullet come down and hit your ass in the head.
Yeah. Well, you definitely had revolution starts with changing your mind. You got to change your outlook, change your mentality.
Yeah. Well, speaking of changing your mind and mentality, you know, they released that footage. Jackie Onassis Kennedy, or Jackie Kennedy Onassis, whatever, it don't matter. She came out and, talking about her feelings. They released the tape with her talking about her feelings about Martin Luther King and how he wasn't a good man. He's not a good guy. And, talking about how he planned for an orgy in the hotel during the March on Washington weekend.
But this is how I feel about the situation, seriously. She's gone. She does. And so is he. But regardless of how anybody felt about him, it didn't change or stop what his purpose was. And he fulfilled his purpose. So, hate on. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was funny that, she is talking about, and him trying to be with women, whatnot, while he's doing the March on Washington. I'm like, well, shit, didn't your husband have Marilyn Monroe singing to him in the White House for his birthday with you sitting right there next to him?
And she didn't mind that because she wasn't. The picture of a
well, I mean that.
that was
the point.
She has curtains in her closet too now because
ain't nobody got nothing in their closet. Like you can open up the closet and ain't no bones gonna fly out. Come on.
But that's different from a whole calling somebody else a hoe. You know what I'm saying? It's like, You married all these rich men, you were a kept woman. And how were you a kept woman? Because you was giving it up.
So you
playing orgies, but you was just giving it up. It's the same thing.
Yeah. And it brings me to that other question. You know how people always, When they talk about great men, whatnot, throughout history, they'll throw out that, well, he did this. There's something he did, like, oh, well, he had an orgy. Okay?
Yeah. And that doesn't change who the person, what the person's purpose is or who they really are. I mean, we all do stuff that's not in agreement with who we really are, but that doesn't change the outcome. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, and that was my point. But, it's especially funny when you talk about how it's the sex part. Like, oh, my God, he had sex. Now, you'll have some other guys who in Iran-Contra scandals was drug dealers, you know, selling that poison to people in all kinds of different countries. They are right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, let somebody get their dick sucked in office or something like that. Oh, my God, they're breaking down our civilization as we know it.
Because they like to have sex, something that's natural. You know this country likes fake and phony. They love fake and phony, and they like lies. But a person that likes sex, oh, that's just too much for us to handle.
Yeah.
We can't deal with that.
Yeah, I've always wondered why, you know, that you know, the sex is you know, somebody have sex, they're the worst person in the world, but I can kill all these people, I can sell these drugs and kill all these people, and I'm good.
I agree. I totally agree. I don't see how, you know, that's a trade-off. I really don't. All right, you can sell these kids drugs all day long.
Right.
But the minute that you get a blowjob, your ass is out of here.
Right. Exactly.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never quite understood that, and I guess I never will, and not going to try to.
And we just going to keep our rule, not to, you know, try to make sense out of stuff that's crazy. Remember the golden rule, you know, don't drive yourself crazy trying to figure out crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, speaking of crazy, you know, they had one of them GOP Tea Party debates. And, you know, the question came up when, what do you tell a guy who is sick, goes into a coma, and doesn't have health insurance? Who pays for his coverage? Are you saying society should just let him die? All of a sudden, a whole bunch of people in the crowd, they're all screaming, yeah, yeah.
You know where it comes from.
No.
I think you would like this.
Okay, tell me where this craziness come from.
It come from an example. You go to church and the preacher preaching. He tuning up. He not really saying nothing, but he tuning up. So he didn't got the people by their emotions. You know, he is swept up in emotions, and so anything that he says after he got their emotions is amen. You see what I'm saying? Amen, meaning yes, I agree. So I see this as the same thing that they're so pumped up on trying to get this person into office or get this their own personal agendas passed that they're not even paying attention anymore to what these people are saying. They're just saying yeah, I agree. Because they feel that there's power in numbers. So the more people that agree, the more of a chance of them, you know, their agenda being a realization. So that's how I see it. You know, they're not paying attention to what these people are saying.
Well, no, they were paying attention. They knew exactly what was being said.
And then there's that, because I'm pretty sure some people did. And it's just a shame that we have people who are cold and heartless, and they forget that one day they're going to get sick, and hopefully they, you know, get old, but they forget about that. So they're just looking at the here and the now. They're not looking at this situation to happen to anybody. So they take themselves out of it. And then they're saying, yeah, you know, they want something so bad that they're willing to do anything to get it.
What do they get out of somebody else dying?
Because they feel that that somebody is going into their pockets personally and taking out money and spending it on whatever they want to spend it on. But, okay, they know that they can't stop, you know, the reaching in the pockets, but they feel that they can control where it goes. So if they agree to do the killing people because they're sick, then that means that they feel like they have some type of control, even if it is a mean, evil, nasty thing to even think about doing.
Mm. Yeah, well, it's a little bit past that.
Like I said, we just got some cold, heartless people in this country.
That's true. Well, we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, wow. Hi, my name is Salahuddin from New York City. Hi to the gentleman and the lady.
Hello.
Hi. Gee, I had just tuned in, and I was just going to listen for a few minutes, but I'm sorry. I would make a comment, but I'm not really sure what your topic is.
Oh, well, right now we were actually talking about the GOP crowd, and they were talking about health care, and if a guy was uninsured, should he be allowed to die?
Oh, that's I heard that Ron Paul made this insane statement. And I think it was the people in the audience cheered it, their reaction.
Right.
I guess it indicates the bloodlust of the certain Americans in this country, you know, their heritage is from Rome.
The exact same thing I just said. Yeah.
Oh, you did? Oh, see, we're on the same vibe. That's insanity.
Yeah.
That's comes from the Roman, throwing people in to be eaten by the lions in the arena. That's savagery. Savagery. That's scary.
Well, I mean, they were actually talking when he said, "Should we let them die?" They're like, "Yeah!" You can hear people in the crowd hollering, "Yeah!" I'm like, "Wow, really?"
Well, I just want to say, you know, when they had those pictures of them, the racists lynching our ancestors, and you would see they would have pictures of them that they would turn into postcards and mail them all over the country to their relatives. And they would chop off, you know, black men's penises and fingers or black women's breasts and keep them. They still have them, many whites in the South, to have souvenirs of their savagery against us. So that's the mentality of these people. You know, as you said, you know, there was Dr. Joy DeGruy-Leary. She was talking about post-traumatic slave disorder. And she made a comment about how when they showed those photos of black men and women being black, particularly black men being lynched and burned at the stake, that you would see the white people smiling, pointing up at the body, smiling. And there was a picture of a little girl, a little white girl, pointing up, smiling at their child. So we talk about we keep forgetting and lying to ourselves about the mentality of these people that we're doing. This isn't racist. You know, we talk about the issues, the mentality of black people as a group. In the black community, we talk about other groups in a positive way about their pervasive mentality. Why is there no analysis of these people in this country, in the white community? Why is there no analysis of their savagery, their cruelty? And this isn't racism. You know, this is scientific. I mean, this is really scientific.
I think what it is it's like when black people have a hard time dealing with the problems in our own community. People don't want to deal with their own, what's going on in your house. You're more worried about what's going on in everybody else's house. It's the TV mentality. You know, we're the TV generation. So what we see on the screen, we attack. But it's the same bad shit going on right inside your own house, and you just walk by it. It's just like stepping over a homeless person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think that's the mentality that we have and have had, and is the reason why we have the problems that we have today, because we have not learned from history. We're not students of history, so we're constantly repeating the same.
That's part of it.
You're right about that. Now, that particular picture that he's talking about, I'm in Birmingham, Alabama, and that particular picture is actually in the Civil Rights Museum here in Birmingham, Alabama. Mm. And the thing about it is people used to use public hangings as an event. They would get dressed up for it, and, you know, they would take their children to it as if they're taking them to an amusement park or something like that. It was a happy occasion for people for white people back then to go see a public hanging of a black person. And people think because we seem to have more rights now that things have changed. But it hasn't changed any at all because they're still lynching us.
Oh, the high-tech lynching? They call it a high-tech lynching?
They're still lynching us. I mean, we don't have any more power in this country than we had back then. But people seem to like to jade themselves into thinking that we do.
Well,
and I don't see that much of a change, that much of a difference.
Well, my question is this. When you talk about high-tech or low-tech, a lynching is a lynching.
A lynching is a lynching, and it's still happening. And it may not be just happening right out in the open, and it may not be, quote-unquote, legal to do it, but it's still happening. And, I mean, look at every venue in this country, as far as, like we were talking about earlier, the movie or roles for positive African-American women. There are none. You know, they were seen as the lowest of the low, or we're seen as detestable. And anything that a person cannot understand, they want to destroy it. And that's what they do to us.
Go ahead, Carla. Yes, sir. No, I agree with the sister. I agree with both of you to varying degrees. And I just want to share with you, it's really great that I'm calling you on this show. And, again, I didn't even know what the topic was. I guess God's moving. But I called another show where a black male was the host who identified himself as a psychologist. And I spoke to him on a show before. He called me and asked me to call back. And I at one point I didn't call back, but I managed to call him tonight on the show. And he had a white male from Texas. You know, we know about the Waco lynching there. You know, we called a white male from Texas who called into his show. And this white male seemingly, you know, at first glance, initially seemed to be rather civilized and had, you know, was rational. And then he started talking about how the Bible says that, you know, blacks and whites should not mix. And I know, knowing where, again, my background is family comes from the South, how our people were treated, and to see a person, an anachronism, a person like that, to actually have a person confront me with that evil, knowing where that mentality comes from, knowing what that mentality and people like that are capable of. But the black host of the show, when I confronted this white man and told him expressed to him that I thought he was despicable and that that I would not bandy words with him, and I said I wouldn't call the show anymore if the host would tolerate that kind of negativity. And I hung up the phone. And the black male, after I hung up the phone, the host, the black psychologist, identified psychologist, said that we should agree to disagree. And I thought, he's going to minimize that mentality and that behavior by saying that that's a part of diversity. You know, you don't have healthy boundaries, and you don't make a difference between negativity and diversity. Diversity does not talk. That's like saying that free speech includes slander. Slander is not included in free. So I'm saying, you know, we have people who are, well, they called it, Bobby Wright called it menticide, stupidity. Well, we have people who do believe, don't really accept that we're really oppressed. I don't blame black people for much of anything in this culture, even him. I realize he's been destroyed psychologically. I really don't blame us. Once we come to terms with that we are continuously being oppressed, that there are overt and covert measures to keep us destroyed, I don't blame us, not even him. I just look at him as another casualty. Despite him, Dr. Amos Wilson talked about people who, despite them being educated, Carter G. Wilson said, he's miseducated. Some of us go through these institutions of miseducation and are completely destroyed. For him to be a psychologist, psychotherapist with a PhD, and state that, and not even try to respond to that man, and at least to either educate him or eliminate him, you know, what to me was outrageous.
Well, I mean, first, I want to thank you for calling in, brother. Second, just in talking about that, and we'll move on from here. You got to understand that brother is trying to appeal to a wider audience. You know, you got some people who are on the air who they want people to love them, all people. I mean, because a lot of people do this because they feel like, okay, I'm going to move on and I'm going
to... That doesn't matter. If your values are at the expense of truth, I understand that. But that is irrelevant.
I'm saying that that's why he's doing it. I didn't say it was right.
I don't know why. You don't know why he's doing it. None of us, neither one of us knows why he's doing it.
If
that's his priority, then there's something wrong with his mentality. There's no excuse for that.
Anything else
is irrelevant. It doesn't matter what his rationale is for tolerating that. It doesn't matter. We don't know. Neither one of us knows. All I know is that it's negative. I don't have to think any further on it.
All right.
I think we all agree that, you know, we all agree that it's deplorable, but from our own personal views, we have our own comments, you know, or our own theories as to why he's doing it.
Well,
so
hold on. I want to say that.
I want you to bring your point home, though, Fred.
Right,
I want to
get the point in that. He's doing that. I mean, if you call on my show and you're dissing me and my people, obviously your ass got to go. It's just we can't have that. Like you talk about the negativity and harboring negativity. No, we can't have that. You know, it's a part of what you would say the cooning effect, where folks that you want to entertain those people who think of you as solely as an entertainer and not an intellectual or equal in their eyes. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. I just want to say this. Everybody has their audience, as you said. I'm not at the expense of I'm going to compromise. And, again, we're talking about what will redound in a more positive. I don't. It's not about numbers. It's about quantity. There's not many people calling the show. So, in fact, by him allowing that kind of person to be on the show may actually be driving listeners away, drove me away.
You're talking about people who have self-esteem. Mm-hmm. See, that's what we're talking about here. You're talking about people who have self-esteem. A lot of people ain't got that. You know, that's part of our psyche. You know, you talk about the psychological chains of slavery. Psychological chains of slavery is that we have no international self-esteem. Ain't no identity of self. You know, those words are bandied about. We lost our religion, our culture, our God. We even lost our mind. That is literally what it is. So when you see that played out.
See, I don't. Like, I'm a social worker. I'm a licensed social worker, and my focus in psychotherapy in general, you know, is the strengths perspective. Now, again, you know, I have some background that's similar to this gentleman, who claims to be a PhD in psychotherapy. So they in psychotherapy they focus on the strengths perspective. You know, these affirmations, the words that we use about how messed up we are, reinforce that sense instead of, you know what? Black people, Americans in this country, started the first public school system when not even the whites had one. Black Americans have 105 historically black colleges, you know, more than any other nation in Africa, more than some nations in the Middle East, you know. Black Americans have generate about $1 trillion worth of revenue in this country, which would make us about the 14th most prosperous nation on earth if we had our own land. So, I mean, I look at our strengths. Black people in this country have invented many things that people use every single day that take it for granted, but they don't know about it. So I look at our strengths. You know, a lot of people have weaknesses. I'll give an example. Asians in this country, right, 41% of all the Asian women in America, with all the propaganda about how screwed up the black family is, you can look it up, 41% of all Asian women in America are married to white men. What does that say about the Asian family? So I'm saying, you know, we need to think about and stop, you know, really look at who we are and the reality that a lot of what we're saying is not reflective of who we really are. I don't even count that individual as being the majority, even if he was.
Right.
I focus on the strengths and the positive black people, and I'm one of them. And if I encounter, but again, I, I, I survey Blog Talk Radio, and most of the what the black people say is negative, and it is based, I'm not going to say ignorance, it's based out of what Cardi Bush just said, perhaps miseducation, and not just education, but just our enculturation process in America, yes, that we are, it is negative. It devalues us. It leads to menticide. I understand that. But then again, how do we counteract that? One of the things is to affirm our worth. And the reality is on our side, not against us. Reality is on our side.
Brother, I want to thank you for calling in, and I hope to be able to speak with you again.
Yeah.
All right. Now,
I enjoy listening to you. Thank you.
We're going to go on the break here. You may appreciate this song. Right now, we're going to go on the break. This is David Banner. Swag.
At some point, whether or not black folks should use the word or a derivation of the word ending in A, that's a black conversation. And white folks and anyone who isn't black, I think, should just basically stay out of that conversation and let black folk deal with it. But we have to recognize that for us, there's a history, there's a context, and it's not our job to help black people reclaim the word. I've heard white folks do that. We're going to help them reclaim the word as a way to fight. Now, if you want to fight racism, march on the police.
David Banner. Everybody in my city pushing keys, and that's all these kids see. If that's the only thing they hear, then that's the only thing they'll be. We call it swag. We call it swag. The homies is busting slugs, the women is shaking ass. The white girl call us nigga, and we just sit back and laugh and call it swag, swag, swag. We call it swag, swag. I am no preacher, bitch, I'm a teacher. More like a thinker, dreamer, believer. Big one. 1,000 albums came out last year and I ain't get one. These boys looking like Mantan. I make hits like Grand Slam. Never had a problem keeping up. These boys' songs sound which is fuck. I ain't thinking about easing up. I'm going hard till my lease is up and my time could be creeping up. It's only right that I tell them. Don't buy into everything that these rappers are selling. Thinking that they winning, but really these niggas selling. Your people and they need you. Beating evil to the street. Who made you? Raised you. I'm grateful that my mama didn't raise no dummy. I never let a motherfucker think for me. Tell a bitch that it's about to get ugly, about to hit the game harder than some rugs. Everybody in my city pushing cheese, and that's all these kids see. If that's the only thing they hear, then that's the only thing they'll be. We call it swag. We call it swag. The homies is busting slugs, the women is shaking ass. The white girl call us nigga, and we just sit back and laugh and call it swag. Swag. We call it swag.
Is anybody on the next level with me? I'm hearing niggas dissing God. Y'all think it's witty. I ain't laughing, we don't play in Mississippi. Even when I was broke, selling my soul wasn't tempting. Let a white cop shoot a black kid. You will see a few tweets, that's it. We'll march for a minute, that's it. Get a new outfit and a dance like this.
Cook, swag, cook, swag.
Black kid didn't make nobody mad.
They won't speak the truth, these niggas getting scared. Call my flow the pudding, the proof in there. I say the shit they say I shouldn't, I ain't never cared. I've been everywhere, took game, spit it, and left it there. I brought a couple slugs to your hood, pray I don't leave them there. I hope that you don't give me a reason, double dare. I'm hard to scare, I'm what they fear. A black planet.
Everybody in my
city pushing keys, and that's all these kids see. If that's the only thing they hear, then that's the only thing they'll be. We call it
swag, swag, swag.
We call it
swag, swag, swag.
The homies is busting slugs, the women is shaking ass. The white girl call us nigga, and we just sit back and laugh and call it
swag,
swag, swag. We call it
swag,
swag, swag.
Together you gotta be smooth, drummer, smooth, drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was David Banner, swag, because, you know, The homies is selling keys and girls are shaking ass and white girl call us the N-word and we just sit back and laugh and they just call it swag.
Swag.
Yeah, I don't have no swag.
Hey, you on one tonight with the
You know.
Yeah.
I've been, like I said, I talked to you earlier. I've been fired up all day. So since we fired up and we was getting into to talking about, you know, positive affirmations. You know, we got to throw some affirmations out there when we talk about these dumbass people and the stupid shit that they do. You want to tell the world why this person you chose is a dumbass?
Yes. Oh my goodness. I don't know where the man is located, and but it's a YouTube video. You can look it up on YouTube. A guy decides to scare his 4-year-old daughter by telling her that on her 5th birthday that she's going to turn black. And the little girl starts bawling out of control. I mean, she's beside herself because she does not want to be black. And so he tells the little girl, finally, after laughing, he tells the girl, you're not going to be black like midnight black, you know, like sky black. You're going to be brown, you know, when, you know, the pack of M&Ms have different colors, you know, the brown one, you'll be that color. And then she starts laughing and saying, oh, okay, well, that's okay. Now, this is a 4-year-old little girl. Mm. Oh, yeah, that's okay. That's fine. And then he said, no, I made a mistake. You're going to be black. And then she slaps him and jumps, runs away, and she's crying again. And then he pats her on the behind and says, my poor little racist baby.
Mm.
I just want to say, what the fuck? Really?
Yeah, I'm...
So he's my dumbass.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the little girl that's racist. I think it's what, they taught her.
Well, yeah, kids know what they're taught.
Yeah.
And that's part of it, you know. I mean, obviously, he put that up so he can get a rise out of it. I mean, if anything, I'd wish... A voodoo hit on him that his whole studio where he filmed that burns down, but
well, it was in his house.
Right,
he filmed it in his living room.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Anyway,
he's my dumbass.
Yeah, I'm gonna move on and talk about my dumbass is this woman who's actually arrested for showing pornography and giving alcohol to her teens. She's showing alcohol. I mean, she's giving alcohol to her kids while they're there, and she's showing them porn. I don't quite get that one. I would never understand why you can do that.
She's walking a fine line of being a damn pedophile. I mean, because what other reason would you have to show? People look at porn together because something's about to go down. So why would she be showing this to her own children? She's a pedophile.
Yeah, I don't think that's walking the fine line. I think she already...
She didn't already jumped over the fence.
Yeah, she didn't jump way over the fence. She in the yard digging a hole.
And then you serving them alcohol. What does alcohol do? It impairs your senses.
Right.
Now she serves them the alcohol, and then once their senses are impaired, she shows them pornography.
Yeah.
Because it's called grooming. When a person does something like that,
yeah.
They may not be touching them yet,
but
it's called grooming.
Right. Well, we gonna move on. From that, because I
nerve with that one. Okay.
I got another one here about this dude, Mark Anthony Richardson. I'm gonna say his name, who got 3 years for tricking babysitters. He was telling them that he was autistic and he was having them change his diapers.
Oh, you sick! Oh, oh, ooh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Oh.
That's on a whole nother level of psychologically, I'm out of my damn mind.
Oh.
Yeah.
And he was a perfectly healthy guy.
Yeah. I mean,
taking a dump on himself on purpose.
Just so he can have women change his diapers.
Oh, goodness.
That's psychologically, that there is something wrong with you.
Oh, goodness.
I'm cracking up because one of the bloggers, my man Soul in the Hole, is called Training.
Soul
in the
Hole is crazy too.
Yeah. Now, you know, they have these stupid studies, and they're always coming out talking about the numbers of Americans in poverty is at a record high. I'm like, yeah, we must be talking about a different segment of society is actually feeling the brunt of the negative cash flow.
Yeah.
I don't think for the majority of the underclass / Black and Latino, nothing has ever changed on that. And you know, it's funny, they're talking about record high, like, okay, so they count the homeless this time?
Do you know what? It's at a record high because they're paying attention now because it affects their ass. They weren't really paying attention to that before until it started affecting them. Now it's an all-time high. That's what makes it an epidemic.
Well,
now.
I don't think they're paying attention now. You know, they just put that stuff out as propaganda so that, once again, folks don't look at them as the cause.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always, you talking about the people, the wealthy, the elite, who've always been the ones who've had the money, been manipulating the strings. Hey, throw something like this out, and people are like, oh, my God. And you don't think, well, people don't have money because, as they say, that trickle-down economics, it ain't quite trickling no more.
Right,
it's
right.
It's tricking.
And it's also a ploy, and another form of terrorism. Because when you think about terrorism, when you're terrorized, it affects your mental capacity first.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying? And then if you get people's mind thinking negatively, you can control them with different actions, with different moves.
You can control them by fear. I mean, it's sort
of... That's what I'm saying. They're scared now. Oh, my God, it's at an all-time high. What are we going to do? It's a recession. But most of us are like, what's different than before?
Right. Well, speaking of fear, now in switching subjects on this now, I read this thing that went down in Mexico where there was some bloggers, some social media users who were denouncing drug cartel activities in their blogs. They found them. The woman was hog-tied and disemboweled, her stomach cut open, her contents was hanging out, and the dude was cut to the bone on his shoulder. He was hanging upside down also. And there was a sign that the guy put up saying, this is going to happen to all of those posting funny things on the internet. You better fucking pay attention. I'm about to get you.
Wow.
Yeah. And it brings me to, you know, I always talk about it. Any longtime listener will know that I think drug dealers are the worst human beings on the face of the earth. You know, people can talk about, you know, guys, sick people, like, oh, that they do the orgies, whatnot. I mean, but drug dealers kill whole generations. I still don't feel, and I always say it, the worshiping of the Scarface and the gangsters, whatnot. Fuck that shit. Why do we love the people who sell poison to your people?
And then you want to be like them.
Right. I mean, and because of that love, these guys get to do that. I mean, and you'll have them people who are hanging up there who were denouncing them like they should, and they were killed for it. I mean, nobody wants to support folks who are against poison. I mean, we all love the drug dealer, but you don't love the people who want peace in the hood. I just don't understand it. I will never understand it, and I refuse to understand why people will love the blood suckers of the poor. Never.
Right. Never. And you know what? Even with the bloggers, they had to have known that, you know, being where they are, and if they speak out against it, something was going to happen to them. They may not have imagined something this horrible, but they knew that something was going to happen. And even with knowing that something was going to happen to them because of them speaking out, they didn't care about that. What was important to them was getting the message out that, like you just said, these people are killing whole generations, and everybody is sitting back, and they're okay with it because it seems to be a means to an end, or the cool thing to do, or the popular thing. And they stood up for what they believed in. They lost their lives,
right,
as a lot of people that stand up for what they believe in do eventually.
Right.
And, you know, they didn't mind giving their life. Well, they're pretty sure they minded, but
yeah.
On the other side, they must not have, because they continue to speak out about it instead of being quiet and just being sheep.
Well, I mean, and that's the point. Somebody's got to, I mean, you know, I remember you hear the stories about the Black Panthers and how they were warning the drug dealers, hey, we're going to give you this one night. You got to go. If we see you tomorrow, we can't guarantee that you're going to make it out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in all places that are prosperous, drugs are not prevalent. It's really that simple. I mean, I'm here in the Bay Area. I'm here in Oakland. You can see it in the people all the time. Those who have been ruined by the drug trade, which is part of the original COINTELPRO in the first place. You know, that
right,
everybody thinks is so cool, the whole drug dealer, Scarface, what's that, the bullshit movie that Denzel Washington was in?
Yeah.
With the American Gangster.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, I don't love the drug dealer, or the drug dealer movie, or the glamorization of the drug dealer. I mean, you worse than the cockroach that I've stepped on and smushed underneath my foot.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
But, you know, I want to thank my bloggers for participating. I want to thank my man Salou Hadin for hopefully I said your name right, for calling in and participating. Of course, I want to thank you, Miss 100%, for being the great co-host that you are. Any last words? We've got 20 seconds.
No last words, just
right.
Callers, people, don't be afraid to call in, just as the gentleman did earlier, and express your thoughts.
Yeah.
You will have your say.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. I'm Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-word, for my illustrious co-host, Miss 100%. We are Smooth Drama, and we out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.